church, when it started, was primarily Jewish. God reaching his people with the gospel. And it's wonderful news to know that the gospel is spreading and it was available to all. But not everyone, if they were Jewish, was really open to that. I mean, the Bible, the Apostle Paul writes a lot of letters trying to dealing with that Jewish influence and the, you know, submitting to the laws and doing things a certain way when we live in a day of grace, God's grace. You know, I share it a lot, but it's like to be reminded that God's grace is sufficient. It's a great reminder for us that God's grace. Listen, we all mess up. We all make mistakes. This week I've done things I was like, Lord, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I didn't say that. I wish I didn't respond that way. God, forgive me. But I always find God's grace is there for me. That is a beautiful thing. But as we, again, in chapter 10, we're seeing the gospel finally reaching the Gentiles. And an amazing challenge in the life of the Apostle Peter. And it's just so powerful. In chapter 8 of Acts, we saw that the gospel was reaching the Samaritans. If you know anything about the Jews and the Samaritans, they weren't fond of each other. But at least for the Samaritans, they were partly Jewish. There was Jewish blood in them. So the Jew would think, well, at least there's some good in them. But when it came to Gentiles, to the Jew, there was no good in a Gentile. And so to see this happening is just it's just evident that God's grace is sufficient for all people. And I want us to all leave with that on our mind. God's grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is there for you. God loves you for who you are. And that's just something we must embrace. Being considered clean or unclean was very important to the Jew. And that we have to understand that as we enter into this area of text. The things that Peter is going to be challenged with is because of his background, because of his past, because of the things he's been, you know, the traditions and the laws that he'd submitted to under for many, many years. It would be no different than if right now God changed things the way you were accustomed to doing things. If God changed, you'd be like, wait a minute. I always did it this way, and now God wants me to do it this way. And that's what we have to understand. Peter is not being necessarily disobedient. He's just struggling. I know nobody in here struggles, right? You don't have any problem when God tells you to do something. You just do it, right? Yeah. Yeah, not always. But we would like to think so. Yes. Who said no? No. That prejudice is what we're going to see in our text today. If you remember, last week we were in the first 8 verses of chapter 10, and the Gentile Cornelius heard from God. And God spoke to him and said, I need you to send men to go find Simon, named Peter. He's staying in Joppa. Go get this man. He's going to tell you some things. So as we pick up this text, these men are traveling to Joppa to talk to Peter, and that's where we're going to see this story pick up. Now, I want to say this. I've titled today's message, Listening to the Lord. Listening to the Lord. Every single one of us in this room has an opportunity to hear from God. Okay, you may hear from God through other people. You may certainly hear from God through the Word of God. But it's being in that place, putting yourself in that place where you're saying, Lord, I'm listening. Lord, I'm listening. Because again, we can get so caught up in our thing and our stuff, and we miss what God is saying. Even our prayer this morning in the kitchen before worship, it was, Lord, give us ears to hear. We want to hear your voice. And there is nothing better than hearing from God and knowing that he's the one that's spoken to you. So that's the context we want to have. Just as Christians, we are to be listening to the Lord. Now, I started thinking about that and the challenges that maybe we have when it comes to listening to God. You know, when we were kids, we always listened to our parents, right? They were always right. Maybe not. But we were always told to listen to your parents, right? Listen to your elders. Listen to your teachers. Do what they say. So you learn to listen to people. As we get older, we tend to listen less to those people. You know, when we go to the doctor, we're supposed to listen to the doctor. I think I just said it this week. You know, it's funny. We go to the doctor and say, yeah, my arm hurts. And they say, yeah, go ahead and take this prescription, do this. And then we walk away and don't do it and wonder why our shoulder still hurts. We don't listen to the doctor. And I'll stand before you and tell you doctors aren't always right. But God is always right, isn't he? God is always right. He's always on time. He's always accurate. And when he speaks, we need to say, yes, sir, and amen. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at Peter listening to the Lord and being obedient, though it was a challenge for him. Look with me, if you will, in verse 9 of Acts chapter 10. And you'll see, now the next day, okay, as they, those are the men sent from Cornelius, went on their journey and drew near the city, that Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, which is noon. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while he made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, "Rise, J. Duffy, kill and eat." But Pastor Rob said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." I joke. God spoke to Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And notice how Peter responds, "But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And here we see God's grace, and a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. So here we see Peter going into prayer, and God speaks to him, listening to the Lord. If you're taking notes, the first thing that's important when it comes to listening to the Lord is the fact that we need to be willing to be prepared by God. So when you listen to the Lord, you will be prepared for God. Again, preparing, God is preparing Peter for something. It's a preparation. And we're going to see this again, but it's always interesting to me that when men go to the Lord in prayer, that's when God speaks, typically. So as believers, we must be people of prayer. And I know we say that a lot in the church, but truly praying. And I've said this to several people over the last few weeks, and I've said it even here. Prayer is something that we certainly communicate to God, but it's most importantly to be listening to God in that time. So we're so busy and we're so on such tense schedules that sometimes our prayer is just really short, really quick. Let me just get it in. Let me just say this. There's nothing wrong with those types of prayers. I think God answers them. But it's truly finding time. Peter went up on the housetop. He took himself out of a place and put him in a position where he could talk and communicate with God. When you pray to the Lord, where is that? Where do you do your prayer? When do you spend that time with God, with the Lord? Is it distracted? Is it, you know, hectic? Or is it just you and the Lord in that private place where you can focus upon God? You'll never just find the time to pray. You got to take the time to pray. You got to take the time to stop and pray. I love that there's men in my life that when something's happening, we're going to stop and we're going to take time for prayer. We were here last night setting up for the church and we were having sound issues. And we were getting frustrated, you know? You figure, you're smart, this stuff should work. You turn the stuff on, and I mean, everything was going wrong. For probably an hour and a half, 2 hours, maybe even 2.5 hours, I don't even remember what. Finally, I just said, "Guys, we just got to stop and pray. I'm getting frustrated." You could see frustration on other people's faces, and it's like, let's just pray and ask God to bring peace. And honestly, I woke up this morning thinking there's no way what we did last night's going to work. And by God's grace, it's working. I was shy. I mean, it's like, why do we doubt? Why do we doubt? Praying to God, giving it to God. I don't know what it is you're doing, what's going on in your life, but maybe you need to give it over to the Lord. Maybe you need to be reminded this morning that you need to be putting it into God's hands and wait for God to give the direction. Listen to what God says. That's what we're seeing here with Peter. He puts himself in a place. I don't think he expected necessarily to hear a voice from heaven. But he was up there on the top of the roof, and he's praying, and all of a sudden, the Lord speaks. Now, I don't know if you have a red-letter Bible or not, But both of those places where God spoke, a voice spoke, are in my Bible in red, which typically means it's Jesus Christ. The Lord was speaking to Peter, and I believe that Peter recognized the Lord's voice. And that, my friends, is such a powerful thing. If you know the Master's voice, if you know Jesus' voice, the way he speaks, how he speaks to you. God speaks differently, I think, to all of us. You know, he's going to speak to you from right where you are. He's going to speak to you in a way where you will receive it. Certainly, Peter's struggling. I hate the fact, I probably shouldn't say hate from the pulpit, but I don't like the fact in verse 14, Peter says to the Lord, no, not so. Can you imagine telling God no? Has anybody ever told God no and want to admit it? Nobody wants to admit it. But sometimes God tells us to do something, and I want to submit this to you. If God asked you to do something, you should do it. You shouldn't doubt it. God is never going to ask you to do something that's going to harm you or hurt you. It may stretch you, but it'll never harm you. And there's so many people in the Bible that says, they hear a voice from heaven and they just say, yes, Lord, what do you want? But here Peter says, not so. And this shows us Peter's tradition. It shows us his religion. I would never eat anything like that. I mean, he's looking at four-footed animals. He's looking at unkosher food. And he's going, God just told me to rise, kill, and eat. I've never eaten anything like that. And that's so it was challenging Peter. And so God begins to work. And I just love the grace of God in verse 15. He doesn't say, Peter, you dumb idiot, listen to me. He just says to him, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Basically, God is reinforcing to Peter, what I've told you is okay, son. And that's the grace. That's how God speaks to us. You may challenge, you may push back to God, but God's going to bring it back to you. So you receive it and accept it. We have to get to that place where we accept. See, Simon Peter didn't have the background that the Apostle Paul had. But Peter's heart was right. Peter's heart was a good Jew, and he didn't have this context. And he was still used by God. That's what I love about God. He can use anybody. Peter was a fisherman. Paul was a Pharisee, right? We see different values in those lives, and yet God used either. And that's a beautiful thing. But be listening to what God has to say. David said this in Psalm 55. I love this verse. It's a great reminder for all of us. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. I always love when the Bible tells me that when I call to God, when I pray to God, when I reach out to him, he will hear me. There's no, he might hear me. No, he shall hear you. That's for we must be asking. And I think it's important that God always hears the prayers and the cries of his people. It's our fault if we're not listening and not hearing from God, if we're not talking to him, if we're not asking him. We should be entering, I think one of the songs we sang was about entering into the presence of God with boldness, to truly be asking bold prayers. When was the last time you prayed a bold prayer? To truly say, God, I'm going to shoot for the fence, and I'm going to pray for something, and I'm going to see if you're going to answer it. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be praying prayers like that and watching God prepare us. He sees this sheet. It's interesting that as he's up on the roof, he gets a little hungry. I believe God did that. As Peter's praying, his stomach's growling. You ever been distracted in prayer? Have you ever been praying and go, man, I'm hungry, or man, I got to do that this afternoon? Or there's no. It's like, I think God used that. Because again, the vision lines up for where Peter was at. Peter's hungry, and here God goes, hey, here's a meal for you. And Peter's like, whoa. We're going to see later. It has nothing to do with food. It has everything to do with Peter's heart. It has everything to do with Peter's heart and how he's going to respond here in a little bit. In prayer, God prepares your heart to do his will. And don't miss this. Peter was a man on this side of Pentecost. Jesus has died. Jesus has risen. The age of grace has been poured out. And here's Peter still living under the law. We have to be careful, guys. It's real easy for us as believers today to be living under some kind of law. As Christians, we can be so critical of other Christians. Well, do you see the way they dress? Well, did you see that post they put on the Instagram? How could they do that if they're a Christian? We have to be very careful because we don't know where people are. And I'm thankful for the grace that God gives me in my life when I fall short. And we need to make sure that that grace is available to others. We need to be careful that we're not being judgmental to others. We need to make sure that we're listening to God so he is preparing our hearts to minister to those. I always say, if you see something out of line, pray about it first. Respond to it only when God tells you to. Respond to it only when God tells you to. Listen, you may be a very mature Christian and you may know the word of God very well, but it will never be effective in someone else's life unless it comes across with some sense of grace and some sense of love and care. That's how we must understand that. Peter is still abiding by the Mosaic system, and he isn't eating anything that is unclean. He can't understand how God could ask him to do this. Sometimes God asks us to do the impossible. Now, Peter was being sincere. He was being honest. He just said, God, I don't do that. And sometimes those are the prayers that we pray to God. Lord, I just don't do that. I just don't go up to a stranger and ask them to pray with me. I just don't invite anybody into my house unless I've got a background check. Right? There's things in our lives that God may stretch us with. And we have to be open. We have to be sensitive to the fact that God's going to do that. God is showing Peter that he should no longer be under law. That he should be living in grace. He should be living in grace. Today, the problem is that some people decide they don't want to eat meat, and then they try to put everyone else under that system. Like I said, 3 years ago, I'm a pescatarian now. I don't eat meat. I eat fish. I got some, I guess, fish, I guess. But I don't feed. But you know what? I can sit next to somebody who's eating a steak. I've sat at a table where Jay Duffy has been cutting into a big old juicy steak, and I used to eat steak. But I don't sit there and go, well, maybe I do. Maybe for Jay, I do. But it's my conviction. And I live that way because I want to. It's not because I think everybody should. And that's the problem. As believers, we need to make sure that we're living our life right before God and not worrying about anybody else. Listen, we're called to speak into other people's lives. But man, we better make sure our relationship with God is on point before we start doing that. For sure. For sure. Under grace, you can eat meat and you cannot eat meat. That's your business. And listen to this. Eating certain kinds of food doesn't make you any closer in your relationship to God. It has nothing. It's just a choice that you make. That's the truth. Actually, if you go over to Mark chapter, I told you to bookmark, go over to Mark chapter 7. We'll see Jesus say a very interesting thing. Mark 7, we're going to pick up in verse 14. Then we're going to make our way right back to Acts. Mark 7 and 14 says this. When he, being Jesus, had called all the multitudes to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." The next verse is basically the disciples take Jesus aside and go, "What did you mean by that? What did you mean by that, Jesus?" Even his own followers didn't get it. What Jesus is saying, there's nothing that you can eat. There's nothing that you can take on the inside of your body that's going to defile you, that is going to make you unclean. So Jesus is basically saying, listen, it doesn't matter what you eat. I know that God set the Mosaic law to protect the children of Israel during those days and to set them apart. And that's why he instituted that. But now Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter what you eat, it matters. That's not what defiles you, it's what comes out of you. The words that you speak, your actions, those are the things that discredit you. And those are the things that I think are the hardest for believers. It's like, God, I want to respond to other people in a godly way. It's being loving to other people. How loving is God to you? How gracious is God to you? That's how he wants you to respond to others. And you, this morning you're going to say, well, Pastor Rob, you don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand what they said to me. Listen, we live in a world where people are ruthless. And maybe you're married to one of them. But it's our job to be gracious. It's our job to be loving, not to be condescending. I don't know if that speaks to anybody in here. We got to be loving and caring. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus made it clear that the real issue is not external, it's internal. It's about the heart. Where's your heart? How is God preparing you to be used by him? Be sensitive to what he's saying. Then in verse 16, if you go back to Acts, you got to love this. I mean, the Bible is so good. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Do you notice with Peter, it's always threes? Poor Peter's always got to have it three times. I think this is just God going, I know you're not going to get it the first time, and I know the second time is still not going to get it, but I'm going to give you the third time. You're still probably not going to get it. Three times he has this vision. Three times God says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And three times Peter probably goes, not so, Lord. He's preparing him. He's making sure he gets the point. And I love that about God. If it takes a few times for him to say it to you, he's going to say it to you a few times until you get it. For Peter, I can't imagine he's not thinking, really, three again? Right? We know Peter denied the Lord three times. We know Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me, Peter? So three was probably Peter's number, right? What's your number? What's your number? What God has cleansed, he tells Peter. What God has cleansed. And what God is telling Peter, we'll see in a minute, is how he's cleansing people. You stand here this morning, clean, forgiven, and in right standing with God. If your relationship with Jesus Christ is intact. That's the truth, guys. That's the truth. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all unrighteousness. All. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. We can learn from Peter, currently, can't we? We can learn that we need to be listening to God and be obedient to what he says. Now, if we go into verse 17... It continues, the story continues. It says, now while Peter wondered within himself, see, he still doesn't get it, what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, look at this, the Spirit said to him, now it's the Holy Spirit speaking to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Now, real quickly, take note, he didn't say three Gentiles are seeking you. God's keeping this back. Because again, this is what he's trying to get to Peter about. He says, behold, three men are seeking you. So God is still speaking to him, and Peter needs to be listening. Look at verse 20, it's so key. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now that is pretty specific, wouldn't you say? Why would God, through the Holy Spirit, say to Peter, don't doubt anything? Because he was a doubter. Because as soon as he opened that door and realized they were Gentiles, the door would close. We'll see in a minute. Keep going. Then verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he who you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Now, I have to think, in that moment, Peter's mind is going off. Lord, why did you show me this vision? Why would you ask me to eat something that's unclean? Why would you ask me to do something I have never done ever in my life? Why would? And now all of a sudden Gentiles are standing and they're saying they have heard from an angel of God to come seek you. When God's will is so amazing, you can only give credit to God about it. Peter can't stand there and go, ah, this must have been what I had for dinner. Something's messing with my spirit. No, he's standing there in front of Gentiles and he's realizing, wait a minute, I think Gentiles are unclean.
And God is preparing him. God has prepared him to receive this, because notice what he says in verse 23, that a Jew would never do. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So God had prepared him, and now in this section, God is challenging him. That's the next step, I think, when it comes to listening to the Lord. He prepares us, but then he also challenges us. Have you ever sensed God leading you to do something that necessarily didn't really make full sense? And again, I wrote this down in my notes here. It says, maybe we don't need all the details that we think we need from God. Is God saying, go there, enough for you? Is God saying, just do this, enough for you? Or do you have to say, well, God, give me a little bit more detail. How's it going to turn out? Who am I going to meet? Am I going to be made fun of? You know, do we ask God those questions? Or do we just obediently follow after what God says? Peter came down, opened the door in obedience to what God said, because he said, doubt nothing. And notice it said there that God had sent them. I have sent them. When God sends something into your life, you got to know it's okay. You got to know it's exactly what you need. Peter needed this. Peter needed this in order to prepare him for what he was going to do in Cornelius' house. Do you struggle with doubt? I think that's probably one of the biggest weapons that the enemy will use in us is doubt. And when it comes to listening to the Lord, I think one of the biggest things is that you, God? Did I really hear from God? I mean, when you're reading the Word of God or when you're praying and you sense something, how do you know it's God? How do you know it's really from Him? Well, first of all, it has to line up with Scripture. God's never going to ask you to do something that goes against Scripture. I don't know how many times I've said this, shared this story, but I can remember early on in ministry, God bless you. I was talking to someone, and they said that, you know, I was sitting in church one day, and this guy came. There was a girl. This guy came up to me and said, "The Lord has told me that you're going to be my wife." And I think you know this. The next, and she's like, "Well, that can't be because I'm already married." But that's the kind of thing that happens. It is frustrating to me when people take their desires and then try to cover it with the Lord. This man wanted this girl to be his wife, so he's like, "The Lord told me." Well, good thing he's not living in Old Testament times, because a prophet gets stoned for something like that. And if I tell you what, if that was my daughter, I'd probably stone him too. But it's just, don't have something that you want and then try to fit God in it. Take your desires and give them to God and let him bring them to pass in your life. That's truly listening. Lord, I want to go here. Do you want me to go here? Make sure you give God the authority to stop me, Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with having desires. There's nothing wrong with having something that you want in your life, but just make sure it's underneath the direction and guidance of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Wait for that peace that surpasses understanding. Now, I've said that many times. We should wait for that peace if it's a decision that we don't know. But at the same time, I see Peter responding to the direction of God very quickly. So there's both sides. Sometimes we have to wait, but sometimes we just got to do it. If God has said to do it and you know it's the Lord, then you just step out in faith and do it. And again, he will challenge you. Many of us in this room have been asked to do things that we would never have done outside of the direction of God. I can tell you right now, I would never be a pastor if it wasn't for the call on my life from God. And quite honestly, we shouldn't be unless we're called by God. But there are some of us in this room, God has said, "I want you to do this," and we've hesitated, we've waited, and we've delayed. That's doubt. That's where God is saying to Peter, don't doubt. Doubt nothing, Peter. Just go and do what I'm going to show you. I've sent them. So in verse 23, you probably don't even understand this, but he invited them in and lodged them. For a Jew to invite a Gentile into his house and lodge them, those words in the original language for lodge them means he was a gracious host, meant he served them. This didn't happen in these days. Again, Jews thought Gentiles were unclean, and just having a meal together, You remember, wasn't it Peter that would eat with the Jews, but then when he was around would eat with the Gentiles, but when he was around other Jews, he wouldn't eat with them? It's like, the reality is, he would never invite them in unless he knew God told him to do it. And that God said, I sent them. And when God sends something in your life, again, it's going to challenge you, but you have to submit to it. You have to accept it, and you have to change. Don't change God's will. You have to change. So I don't know what it is in your life that maybe God is challenging you in, but don't doubt if he has shown you. If God has called you to it, he will make a way to do it. And I love the fact that when God's in it, eventually you'll go, oh, that's what you're doing, Lord. Oh, now I get it, Lord. Peter's not going to get it for a while. In fact, I think in verse 23, at the end of verse 23, when he says, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him, I'm pretty sure Peter's like, I need some witnesses. I think Peter's like, hey, I need some of my other Jewish friends. Come with me. I'm traveling with Gentiles. I don't know what God's doing here. He was doubting. Peter began to change when he opened up his house for those that were there. It was Thursday night. I was driving home. Was it raining Thursday? Anyway, I was driving on the highway, and I got a voicemail on the church line. And it was a gentleman that was from another Calvary Chapel, from Calvary Chapel St. Pete. And on the voicemail, it says, yeah, I'm here for a conference for the weekend. And the place I was going to stay fell through, so I'm looking for a place to stay. And I'm from a Calvary Chapel, and I know Calvary Chapels usually help people. And I'm thinking, as I'm listening to the voicemail, I'm thinking, all right, who's going to house this guy? How can we help? Lord, do you want me to help? And as I'm driving, God's like, why don't you house him? And I'm like, preparing this message and listening to the Lord, I'm like, God's given me an opportunity to listen to him. And I'm thinking, maybe I could. So I give him a call, and I said, yep, this is Pastor Rob, Calvary Chapel. You left a message. I said, where are you? He says, I'm still at the airport. I said, well, how long do you need? All weekend. I don't leave till Sunday night. I'm like, yeah, well, you can come stay at my house. He goes, okay, I'll take an Uber and come to the house. So he's sitting here in the service today, Travis, from Calvary Chapel St. Pete. And it's been an absolute blessing. I haven't really spent a lot of time with him, but our times together, we prayed together, we've been encouraging each other. And it's just like, be ready to open your house, to be gracious to whatever God might do. You don't know how much of a blessing it might be. I mean, I don't think it's much blessing. He keeps saying, man, what a blessing this is. I'm like, why not? I got an empty room, might as well use it. Just listening to the Lord. Just paying attention to what God's doing. It's so important. It was yesterday afternoon, I was finishing up my study. I was sitting in my office at my house. Travis was at his conference. And, with the cold weather, there were some bushes out in my front yard that had kind of died from the frost. So I'm like, well, those are ugly. So I got up and I started clipping this one bush right by my front door. And I got to be honest, all of a sudden I heard, Robert. I stood up and there's nobody there. And I'm like, what the heck was that? So I go start cutting again. Sure enough, Robert. Yes, Lord? What? I'm like, and I was just thinking about my message. I'm like, Lord, are you speaking to me? What do you want me to do? Give me some more instruction, right? Give me some more direction. It was my wife on my Ring doorbell. I'd walked out my front door and it set off our alarm, and it's the first time she's ever done it. And that's what she always calls me, Robert. And I'm like 10 minutes later, I walked in the house. I'm like, did you call me on Ring? She goes, yeah, I just thought I'd give you a hard time. I'm like, well, I thought it was the Lord. She laughed. She goes, no, I'm not the Lord. I was like, no, I know. But here's the thing God taught me. No matter what you're doing, be ready to hear from him. God said, Peter, rise and eat, kill and eat. He called him by name. God will call you by name. God knows you, and you should know him. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they do what I say. That we would hear God call us and speak to us. Hopefully not through a Ring doorbell, but he could do that, right? But it helps us to understand what God's doing. Lastly, verse 24. Then the following day, and this will be the last section. Then the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. And he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. Here it is. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." The light bulb finally went off in Peter's life. And he's like, wait a minute, this has nothing to do with food. It has everything to do with people. And Peter got it. "Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me?" He didn't really even know why he was there. So Cornelius said, "4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said," here it is, "Cornelius," called him by name, "your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." The last thing, when it comes to listening to the Lord, is that he will guide you. He will guide you. He prepares you. He challenges you. Then he will guide you. Peter was still in that place where, "I'm not really sure why I'm here. I'm being obedient to God. I'm here doing what God's told me. It's challenged me because you know how unlawful it is for a Jew to be in the house of a Gentile. But I am here in obedience to God." When God guides you, he may ask you to do things that is uncommon around you. This is the first time a Gentile's home was ever entered by a Jew. The first time ever someone was stepping in this place, first time Peter would ever find this experience where he's standing before a Gentile and want to minister to him the gospel. What an amazing transition. What a powerful message from the very beginning when he was in prayer, then God told him what to do and he did it in obedience, and then he shows up. And notice in verse 33 it says his relatives and all of his friends are there. He's got a Bible study. What an amazing picture, what an amazing opportunity that Peter has to be there to minister to the gospel, because their hearts were right. Their hearts were right. That is so important to understand. That here we find, I mean, let me back up a bit. in verse 25 and 26, number one, Cornelius had to wait 4 days before Peter ever showed up. And I have to think in my mind, Cornelius had to be continually asking the Lord, "Did I hear right? Is a Jew really going to come to my house?" In those 4 days, 2 days to get there and 2 days to return, what was going on in Cornelius' heart? Was there doubt? Did I really hear from the Lord? Guys, it's those 4 days, it's those times when we know, at one minute we know what God's saying, and the next minute the enemy tries to steal that. That's why it's so important that when God speaks something in your life, either write it down, record it, or tell somebody about it. Because the enemy will try to steal that from you. And if we write it down and remember what God has said, then we'll come back to that place. I mean, Cornelius says, "It's good that you've come." I believe that's him saying, "I wasn't sure you were going to come. Because this is unreal. This is not real. This is not normal." Don't let doubt steal what God has shown you. Embrace it and walk in it. Walk in the power, because Peter's going to have an amazing experience of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in his presence to the Gentiles. What a privilege it is. Had Peter denied that, had Peter gone in a different direction, this would have never happened. So let's make sure we're We're moving where God tells us in the power of God and watching the results as the Lord delivers it. What's interesting picture here is that Cornelius actually bows down at his feet to worship Peter. That shows you the heart that Cornelius had, because he knows he was sent by God. But I love the fact that Peter turns around and says, "Dude, don't do that. Don't worship me. Don't bow before me. I'm just a man like anybody else." And that's truly the proper heart that we must have. Look, God may use you in an amazing way, but make sure you don't take credit for it. Make sure you're not receiving any of the glory. All the glory should go to God. All the glory should go to the Lord. We should never take that upon ourselves. It's interesting. In St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome, I've never been there, but I read this. It's interesting to me. Some people have been there. Maybe they've actually been to this church. There's a huge statue of Peter in this church. And people come and kiss the toe of Peter. And it's... Someone made a comment about that and said, wouldn't it be great if Peter would show up in that church and say, "Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't worship me. Worship God." Our job is to lead people to the Lord. And it starts by listening to what God wants us to do. Every single one of us in this room can be used by the Lord if we're truly listening. I believe God is always asking us to do something. The question is, are we listening? Again, it's that still, small voice. It's that whisper that God gives, that you know that it's him. I ask you to walk in that obedience. Walk in that place where you're saying, "Lord, I want to do what you want me to do." Even when it's scary. Even when it's scary. I believe every one of us in this room should be praying for opportunities like Peter has. Can you imagine if our prayers to God were, "Lord, prepare the ears and the hearts of unbelievers. Prepare the ears and hearts of unbelievers to receive the gospel message," that we would truly ask that. Because I think some of us in this room probably think, "Well, that's your job, Pastor Rob. That's not my job. I'm just trying to do life." No, every single one of us has an opportunity to touch another life. In some way, in some small way, you can make a difference in someone else's life. But are we praying and asking God to do that? Peter walked in at an amazing opportunity. And here's the thing that I want us to walk away with. Cornelius, in the first 8 verses, was a man of prayer. He went at the hour of prayer to pray to God. God spoke to him. Peter goes up on the rooftop to pray. God spoke to him. If you're here this morning and you're wondering, how can I listen to God? It starts with prayer. It starts by praying. It also starts by stopping, sitting down, and being quiet before God. And when I say that, I bet for a lot of us in this room, we think, "I don't have time to stop. I don't have time to slow down." Even in Cornelius' recount, as he tells Peter, 4 days ago, "I was fasting and praying." If you want to hear from God, and I want to hear from God too, and if we really want to hear from God, we got to take and set aside food. That's fasting. And spend time praying. Peter has a wonderful testimony, doesn't he? He went to the house of a Gentile, which nobody ever did. We're going to see next week that he preaches the gospel and the entire household receives the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't you love your unsaved friends, your unsaved family, your unsaved coworkers, your unsaved neighbors? Wouldn't you love the Holy Spirit to be poured out on them, that they would receive the grace that you've received? And I think sometimes we just are waiting for it to happen. We're waiting for them to receive the Lord. And God's going, "I've got you right there in their life." So I would encourage you this week, certainly pray. Fast if God leads you to it. I'm not going to tell you to do that. That's something God's going to tell you to do. But put yourself in a position where you just stop. Fast, pray, And then listen. And I pause like that because it's very uncomfortable for us to sit in a room and be quiet, isn't it? I find that in my life. I want to just sit in my office and just listen for God. But you know what happens? An email comes in, a text message comes in. Dishes need to be cleaned. Something needs to be done. Bush needs to be clipped. Right? Scott Webster is going to interrupt our little message here. I would encourage all of us. I don't know if you're like me, but my phone has every appointment that I have all week. Because if it's not on there, I'm not going to show up. So if you want, make sure it gets on my calendar. But sometimes I need to put some time in there to say, spend time with God. Spend time with the Lord. It's been a blessing having Travis at my house because we've just taken time to pray. You know, at the end of the day, we pray. In the morning, we pray. This morning we sat in the truck and just prayed. I prayed for him. He prayed for me. I mean, it's what it's about. But truly just stopping and being still and listening. That is so unusual for us. So unusual. And if we're, as kids, listening to our parents, and as old, listen, we certainly should be, as Christians, listening to the Lord. And he's going to speak. And wouldn't it be amazing to see what God does when he speaks to you? So I encourage you to set time aside this week. Some of you in this room pray a lot. But maybe this week you pray and you just take a time. Lord, I'm going to pray, but I'm also going to listen. Maybe listen a little bit more than we talk. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to share a lunch together. I do hope you can stay. Father, I thank you so much for Peter, for Cornelius, for the Holy Spirit, for the angel, for the men that were faithful to go get Peter. Lord, we're just so grateful to have godly people around us. Godly men and women to encourage us. To spend time with you and to hear from you. And God, I pray for all of us here this morning. I pray that we would truly listen for your voice. We know you speak to us when we read your word. I pray that you would speak to us in our times, our quiet times with you, just sitting at your feet. I think of Mary and Martha. Just sitting at Jesus' feet. And you said that that wouldn't be taken away from her. That we would truly, as believers, have a desire to sit at your feet. To be quiet. Speak to us, God. Speak to this generation. Speak into our lives so that we can make a difference in others. For we know there's been people in our lives that have helped us. There have been people that have loved on us and prayed for us and invited us to church. And I pray that we would be those people, that we would have a desire for the lost. Peter had a struggle. He had a struggle that he didn't have a love for the Gentiles initially. But eventually he did. Help us to be like Peter. Help us not to be like Jonah. Lord, where you tell us to do something and we try to run from you. No, let us truly have a heart for you. Pray for each and everyone here. I pray that their week would be blessed. I pray that their time with you, maybe if it's in the car, just turn the radio off and just talk to you and listen. I pray for more of those times, more of those experiences, more of those intimate conversations with our Creator. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We pray that you would just bless this day and bless our fellowship lunch, bless our interactions. May our lives just be lived for you. We give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.